Desi, noun. A person of Indian, Pakistani, Bangladeshi, Nepali, or Sri Lankan origin who lives abroad.
American Desi. Well, that's what we hope to discover here. What's up, guys? Welcome to the podcast. Arjun is a savage monster. this is American Desi. I'm Akash.
I'm Arjun.
And today we have on with us a friend of mine, stand-up comedian and actor. He has a couple of shows out here in L.A., Unnecessary Evil at the West Side Comedy Theater, correct?
Right.
Which I have done, is a very fun show. Also, Stand Up and Dance.
Yes.
Which is a very LA comedy show. Every New York comic will judge that title. but please welcome to the show, Neil Nanda.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Woo!
What's up?
How you doing, man?
Doing good, man.
Okay, so this is the thing, and I said this to you earlier, but when I bring stand-ups on the show, it's usually not to talk about stand-up. It's usually because there's something else that I find interesting about this person. And I think a couple of months ago I did a show with you, and we went out afterward and we started talking, and I was very interested in your ties to Indian culture because they seem so much looser than mine.
Right.
So I guess we're going to get into that, but first...
Well, is that true? Would you agree with that
characterization? Well, I don't know how strong his ties are with Indian culture. I have no idea. But yeah, mine, I guess, are pretty loose. They're pretty loose in general.
Let me ask you that, because I noticed you're wearing you guys can't see it, but you're wearing a bracelet with Om on it.
Yes, this is very new. I just got this. I'm trying to get more in touch. I'm trying to, because the Indian people and the culture, they've been so supportive and helpful with me, and they've been nothing but great to me recently. So I'm trying to, I felt guilty about it, and my mom sent me this, and I was like, well, I should probably wear it.
So
okay, let's put you on the therapy couch for a little bit here.
Let's do it.
And see
I'm the only one not on a couch, by the way.
That's true. That is true.
Put you on the therapy couch, yeah. Just put me in the most uncomfortable chair.
We like to keep our guests on their toes.
Right.
Say guests?
Yeah, we're good.
You're okay.
Yeah.
Where are you from?
I'm from Atlanta originally. I grew up in Alpharetta, Georgia, which is a suburb of Atlanta. It's just north of Atlanta. About maybe 15 miles north of Atlanta.
So my understanding is Atlanta being a big city. I mean, I grew up in Tampa, which is not terribly far. You know, it's 8-hour drive. Pretty big Indian population in Atlanta. Am I correct?
That is correct.
But did that translate to your area as in your suburb or no?
Yes, we had a lot of family in my area. A lot of my father and his brothers moved to Alpharetta, specifically Alpharetta Roswell area, which is that suburb of Atlanta. And then my parents, I guess, like, I don't know when it happened or how it happened, but they found all the Indians, like
right.
all of them. They found right. every single one, and we had a big community of aunties, uncles, pujas with hundreds of people. Like, it wasn't a small thing. It was, like, Indians everywhere.
Your first generation?
My parents, yeah, I was
They
born
immigrated
in America,
here,
yes.
and you were the first, yeah,
yes.
first generation born.
Right.
So, I mean, it sounds like you have had a lot of cultural... activities around you, you were like immersed in the culture and it's in
I was,
a lot of
I was definitely.
So when you say that the culture is loose for
well,
you, what does
I,
that mean?
Okay, I guess we'll start there. We'll start with the family. I never really fit in with the like, you know, I had Indian cousins and friends and people of my age range around there, and I never fit in with that. We never shared the same interests. I was a musician, for example. I studied jazz and I studied like rock and roll and like I was really big into that. I grew my hair out. I was like I guess a rebel in their kind
in their
of
eyes.
In that community, I guess. I was
right.
kind of I was a little bit of a rebel, so I never really fit in, never hung out with them, never did activities and stuff with them that they would I wasn't athletic. I didn't do sports at all, really. I played a little bit of basketball in high school, but they were a little more like, you know, like I don't know, outdoorsy and video. They were into video games. I was never into video games ever. So I never fit in with that community. So but it was there. It was always around me. I always went to the events. I always hung out at the pujas and the things and the birthdays and the, you know, other
But you felt,
events.
It sounds like you felt like an outsider on something. It sounded like you didn't see yourself reflected in the community.
Yes, or supported. For that.
Okay, so that was my next question.
I will also say I didn't feel because, like I said, I was a like in a rock band and like did things that they just didn't understand or want to understand. It was just, I mean, a little outside of the community.
Were they outwardly dismissive?
Well, I would say my parents were very dismissive.
Really?
For one.
I mean, yeah, kids in a rock band, come on.
Yeah, that's not going to work. That's not going to work at all. I mean,
but were you sitting there, like, in rock band saying that this is what you wanted to do?
Well, it was a struggle even to get an instrument. I remember. Really? Getting an instrument was difficult. My mother and I are very close. We're very, very tight. And my father is very, he's stuck in 1950s Vasantgunj. He's just chilling
right.
In the village. His brain is in that village right now. So he didn't want me to even get a guitar. I wanted to get a guitar when I was 13. I was 13 and I was like, I'm dead set on it. Like, I'm saving my money. I'm doing whatever I can. I want it. I messed around with a few and I was like, this is so cool. I want this. I want this feeling of, you know, playing music. So, he was like, just no, just not even like a maybe or yeah, if you get good grit, like no, just no.
Just no.
Are you serious?
Right.
Why do you want to play guitar? Like, why aren't you playing math? Why aren't you studying or doing this or doing something more productive with your time?
It's so interesting to hear because music in our culture is so big. Maybe this was just my family, but like family, music is so big and there's so many people.
What are you talking about?
Not necessarily from a standpoint of become professions, but from a standpoint of like, it's
culture.
They're always singing, it's like in
sure.
the culture.
Yeah,
culture.
Sure.
So,
see, I would agree with that because there was definitely some Indian families that were like, why, what? He's not letting you get a guitar. And then there were some that were like, yeah, I get it. So, I mean,
it's also guitar. It's not like an Indian instrument. Like, you want to play a tabla, you'd have had that shit.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
My dad would have had that shit. He would have gone
to
the tabla center or whatever, wherever you hit tablas.
Well, let me ask you about your parents. You said that they found all the Indians. So,
yeah.
Did they have a struggle integrating into this culture, into the United States? Did they do that out of a sense of just natural tribalism, or did they do that because they felt they like actively didn't want to assimilate?
Well, I think a lot of these people, my dad, they knew from a long time. My dad went to school here. He went to Georgia Tech in Atlanta.
Oh,
so he studied computer science when that was a thing. And so he was studying computer science in like the late 70s, early 80s, I believe. So him and his brother both went to Georgia Tech. They both came to school here, and they met a bunch of people that's a very heavily Indian populated school, like 70% Asians, just
we
Indians,
out there.
Korean. Yeah, you guys out there. You guys are definitely most of the people out there, definitely. But my dad met.
You just said you guys.
You guys.
You just said you guys.
You guys. Act like we didn't catch that shit.
We guys are definitely out there. Sorry.
Well, no, look. All right, hold up. No, yeah, it's a curiosity. Do you actively? I guess
no,
we're just gonna jump to it.
That
was a
slip. Sorry.
Okay.
That was a Freudian. But so my we out there for sure, and we as a whole. But yeah, my dad. So he met a ton of Indian people there, and he strongly connect. Similar backgrounds, similar people that moved from India or that he met there that were, born here or whatever. And they all, connected and they've been friends and family friends since then. And
okay.
they've had kids and I know their kids. And so he built a community when he moved here. And, they met people and, of course, they got married and my mom became friends and aunties and they cooked together. And
right.
So
it kind of happened organically.
It happened organically. There, like we mentioned before, Atlanta has a big Indian population. Indian people are everywhere. We're all over Atlanta in the suburbs, in the city.
Right.
Georgia Tech, Emory. It's a pretty Atlanta's not a dumb southern place. It's pretty intelligent, pretty progressive, pretty modern. Like it's a pretty great place, especially for being in the South, especially for being in Georgia.
Right.
But in general, it's a pretty progressive, it's a pretty, modernized. Yeah.
Sounds like you got more acceptance in Atlanta outside of the family friend circle than you did in the family friend circle.
For sure. For sure.
That's interesting. Now, did you ever feel for, like, these pujas and these stuff, did you ever feel a resentment towards going there? Did you ever feel like, oh man, I gotta do this?
Never
this is...
resentment. Maybe maybe a boredom. There was a time mm-hmm. when, even when I was in middle school, I just kind of renounced Hinduism. I even told my parents, I was like, hey, that's cool that you guys believe this, but I just don't. I don't believe. And that really...
Well, I'm sure that went well.
That didn't go well at all. Yeah. That did not... Well, what their response was that I don't have a choice. Their response...
Okay, that's...
Their response was...
I like these parents. I love these parents.
Their response was, I remember they were like, well, you can't not be Hindu. And I was like, what do you mean? They're like, it's in your blood. Like, you can't get rid of your blood.
I get that, though. And, I mean, I get that. I mean, I had not... Just not to interrupt you, but right. I had a similar experience where I had a conversation with my parents where I told them that they didn't raise me Hindu.
Right.
And they lost their shit. Rightfully so, because I didn't have a total understanding of what that meant for them.
Right.
And we didn't grow up going to temple at all. Like,
right.
We occasionally did a Diwali puja at home, but we were kind of like, it was very sporadic. It was very, you know, it wasn't regular at all.
Right.
But for them, it's like Hinduism is so intertwined with the culture.
Right. It's just so. You are Hindu. You don't right. do anything else. You don't change.
You don't have to do anything
like
to be Hindu.
You can't be like, oh, now I'm black. Like, you can't
right.
just do
right.
that. You don't,
right.
you know. So, that's what it was to them. And they were just like, well, you're Hindu. Like, you can't. I'm like, no, I don't believe in any of it. I don't believe in, I'm not saying I'm Christian. I'm not saying I'm Jewish. I'm not saying I'm Muslim. I'm saying I'm just nothing. I don't want to be anything.
Right.
I just stopped believing at one point. I mean, as we all do, or a lot of people do. Some people do, some people don't. Some people, and I was, I think I was like that rebellious, shitty atheist for a while, for like a little while, where I was like, fuck everyone,
yeah.
fuck Christians, fuck the
right.
church. You know, I was at between like 13 and like 16, you know, like, so I got it out. So now I'm like, you know, believe whatever you want to believe. You want to be Christian, you want to be Jew, I don't care. It's cool. It's do your thing. I'll do my thing, and we'll high five, you know, whatever.
That's a very Hindu mindset.
Okay, yeah, maybe I am Hindu. Maybe it's in my blood.
You were going back to like how you felt about going to these cultural
oh, yeah.
events. Now, maybe not the religious ones so much, but like, did you guys have Diwali functions? Did
yeah,
you have
we had
like
functions, holy and Diwali right. and this and that and you know, Karva Chodh and.
Well, I guess those are still religious. Did we have cultural activities? Did they ever do like garbas?
I never went to those.
Right.
I just avoided it. I was like, I don't want to stick dance. I don't want to.
Right.
I mean, like, I wasn't going to dress up and stick that.
Was there a root cause of it? Or was it honestly just, I just don't like this stuff? Or was there a root cause, like, these kids make me feel like I'm not welcome, so fuck them?
I don't think it wasn't a fuck them. It was, I just don't relate. I don't enjoy it. I don't,
right.
I don't want to do this. I want to go practice my rock band. I want to go practice guitar and, like, learn how to play this sick, but you know, new Metallica song, or you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So at some point you left it that
sick new, yeah, not new.
I want to learn this sick new song from 1981.
So at some point you left Atlanta.
Sick old Metallica.
Was it for college? Was college your next step in your journey?
Yes, I went to college in Atlanta for
okay,
a little bit.
Okay, it was in Atlanta.
I went to school, yeah.
I want to know when you left. I'm more curious now what happens when you're no
Wait,
longer...
Wait, real quick, did you finish college?
Yes,
okay,
I did.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, I want to know what happens when you left that environment where it was like kind of an... There's a South Asian community that you were a part of, and then you get to start choosing your community. I want to see what happened to you at that moment.
I didn't hang out with Indian people ever again. Really, I mean, not like out of choice, just out of who I was surrounding myself with. Just
but that is a choice, right?
Yeah, it's 100% a choice.
What? Who you're surrounding? Well, I mean, you go out
whether
you're
subconsciously
like,
or not. I mean, it is definitely.
Sure.
I mean, we have to honor that. That's a choice that we're
once
making.
Once I left, I started doing comedy more.
Where was that? Did you come straight to LA?
No, New York.
Okay, you were in New York for a while.
Yes.
And then you came out now in New York.
What years were you in New York?
2012 to 2014. But I was
Oh my god, you're new to LA.
I'm very new to LA. Three
oh.
years in LA.
It's 2015.
Wait, 2010 to 2012 in New
okay.
York.
Gotcha.
2012 to 2015. I've been here. Sorry. Did I say 2012 to
2015? Man, you really ain't Indian at all, brother. that math was embarrassing.
Sorry, you know what? When I said you guys, I meant
All right.
I'll take that.
So you went to New York.
So you went to New York. Now, and again, New York, bastion for like a huge Desi community.
Sure,
if you want to be
sure.
a part of it, but very easy to avoid it if you
want
to.
Very easy to avoid it. And then I was also dating somebody, which was most of my life. I had a girlfriend at the time, like an idiot. But I mean, well, you
like
know.
An idiot.
Like
my
an idiot.
God, man. These
Getting pussy
relationships.
Like an idiot. Like, what a jackass. Steady sex. This is, you know.
Now Akash told me that, you know, I haven't gotten the chance to see one of your sets, but he said that you have talked in your set about
you don't like Indian girls.
It's a personal choice, first of all. Second of all, I don't do that joke anymore because it's feel like the audience is like, that's just me. Like, they just very, that's just rude.
But is it how you feel?
Yeah, was it a joke or was it?
It is how, I mean, personally, and I think we did talk about this when we went out after the show and drank a little bit about Indian Girl specifically.
You drank, just for the record, I did not drink.
You didn't drink? I was very drunk. I don't remember being sober at all. Like, I thought you were drunk too. I was like, oh, I'm telling them that she's not gonna remember this shit. And then like 6 months later, do my podcast. Let's talk about what you said when you were 3 beers in, talking shit about Indian girls.
First of all, I love that you just admitted in a public setting that you were that drunk off of three beers. I respect you.
I weigh as much as like an eighth grade cheerleader. Like that's how much.
This is true. We'll take a photo. I don't know if it'll capture it.
Right. Yeah. Take a photo. It'll definitely capture it. But like, who's that child they got? How does he have so much facial hair?
Because he's Indian.
Are you taking a picture?
Yeah.
All right. So I was okay. Yeah, Indian girls. Let's talk about it. I don't personally. I've never dated an Indian girl. I've never been. Never wanted to. Never been attracted to. Never pursued. And it definitely is a choice. It's definitely a choice. This is not like subconsciously. Consciously.
Well, let me ask you this before you jump into the conscious aspect. You said that you've never been attracted to. So, not to get too much into semantics, but this is an important question I have for you. Have you ever found an Indian girl attractive?
Sure. Okay. Sure. Yes. Aishwarya Rai is gorgeous. Just meet the scent, whatever, you know, like.
Right. So you see them as. So when you say you've never been attracted to them, it's meant you've never had the desire to then pursue.
I've never had the desire to pursue. Absolutely. Even if Aishwarya, or maybe Aishwarya, but.
I mean, brother, please. I mean,
take that back. But yeah, I've consciously never wanted to. I grew up with I had a sister. An Indian sister, and
do you still have this?
I do still have a sister.
Okay, because you use the past tense.
I have an Indian sister, and she has I grew up around her, and she had Indian friends, and who were all female Indians, and they got on my nerves, and they just their whole, like, the way they hung out and like their groups and their stuff. So
let's talk about what was it about. Yeah, what was it about that kind of culture?
Very clicky, very this, very uptight, very had very high standards, very not laid back, not chill at all. And they would hang out in this group, they gossip, and I'm sure they're teenagers. All teenagers do this, but I saw that throughout age, like, you know, when they were 13 to 22, and they stayed the same. They're all the same, and they all, and this is super racist. Fine.
No, sure. I don't. No, I think this was your experience with that.
This is my experience.
I think the potentially problematic thing is that taking that experience with that group of people and then putting all Indian women.
That's what makes it racist. That's in the way that we would shame a white person who had a bad experience with a black person, and then it's like, I hate black people.
Right, right.
That's where it becomes a problem.
And exactly, I'm admitting that. That is very racist. But when I meet, and I'm not rude, and I'm not
very, sure. Very little remorse for that.
I like that. Be open.
Sure. I mean, why not?
You know who we are.
What, do you want me to lie to you? And be like, oh, that's fine. Right. I have a problem with Indian girls. That's totally normal. No, it's not. It's racist. And sure. The thing is, I'm not dismissive of Indian girls. I'm not like, oh, I don't want to talk to her because she's Indian. I'm not that racist. But it's like, I'll hang out with an Indian girl. Let's say, sure, I see an attractive Indian girl. We hang out, we talk. I'm like, hey, Bhavna, blah, blah, blah. As soon as I start having a conversation with her, I start finding those things in her personality, and then I'm just turned off.
Self-fulfilling prophecy,
absolutely. And it is racist. It's like being like, you know.
Do you know what? So you're stemming it. You're saying that the stem of that is your experience with your sister and her friends.
Sure. I mean, that's some of it. I mean, all around the country. I just have never met an Indian girl that meets the personality criteria. Never. And this is just a personal experience. I mean, I'm sure there are a ton out there that are great and awesome. And this, I feel terrible even saying all this, but I'm sure there's so many Indian girls I've never met that are amazing.
Yo, this is a great way to get an Indian girl right now. I'm being very serious, because you're really, some Indian girls like, I'm going to prove him wrong.
I doubt it.
I don't think that's the response that we're going to get about this podcast.
This is all a pickup artist does. You just break a girl's self-esteem down so she needs your validation, and then bang.
That's not what I'm trying to do. But I have relentlessly in my life just relentlessly dated white women. Just my entire life.
Only white women.
I don't know why. It's not a...
So do you feel this way about other cultures of women as well?
No, I will date anybody else. I will date a Taiwanese.
But you, why, date but you haven't, though.
Huh? I haven't. So... But that's just what happens. Is what
I don't know.
I can't believe that's coincidental.
Can I ask
how old you are real quick? Listen, huh?
Can I ask how old you are?
I'm 25.
25.
So okay, I'm still young. Right. I'm still young, so I have time. And like I said... I'm down to date anybody else. Yeah, Guatemalan is cool. Actually, no, I've dated a Peruvian girl. I've dated an Armenian. I've dated.
How did you forget these women until just now?
No, but generally, I date. That's generally what happens. Is I'm just like, oh, Jennifer or Brittany or Natasha.
I've noticed that, and I've talked about this with some of my friends of color. That at times, people that date only white women, that like explicitly.
It's not explicit. I take that explicit. Back.
But like, or even at sometimes primarily. Primarily, there is an element, especially if they're of a minority, where they are looking to assimilate by doing that.
I would agree with that. Agree strongly with the fact that I definitely want to like fit in or feel cool. Like, especially in high school, for example, I dated a girl, Jennifer. Jennifer Radomski. Can I shout her out? Is that cool?
What up, Jennifer?
I just did.
So hey, listen, we could use the listenership.
Yeah, Jennifer, what's up? I'll tag her in this. Don't worry. So yeah, I dated. That was one of the first serious relationships I had, and there was definitely an element of like, I want to fit. She's cool, popular, white girl. She's fun and has a lot of friends. It goes to cool parties and is friends with the football team and And it was definitely a part of me that was like, I want to be in that lifestyle. I want to like hang out with the football team and drink at Kim's house when her parents are out of town, and because they got a fucking keg and fucking some dudes got weed, and I'm like, oh, what's that? You know, like I want to be a part of that lifestyle. It was definitely a part. And I never did drugs or anything. Like, I don't know why I mentioned it like I did. But I wasn't cool enough.
This is incredible. Like, I love how little work I have to do in this interview. just everything that I would want to call you out on, you're doing yourself. This is amazing. Understandable as a 15, 16-year-old in high school. Like, it's so awkward. There's so many things that make it feel awkward that you want. Do you think that that's still a part of your decision-making process?
I would say... Slightly, sure. Maybe subconsciously. I really don't care. I really don't care as much anymore I care more about, can I have fun with this person? Can I be myself around this person? Can I relax around this person? And I found that with white girls, I can just kind of just be whatever I want to be Neil Nanda and just be chill and say what I want to say and do what I want to do. And it's cool.
And you just still, even now, in the experience that you've had with meeting... You, again, in New York City, and then being in LA, two big. I mean, you grew up in three big cities.
I don't think there's a big Indian population here. And the thing is, trust me, I have.
Actually,
found...
I can't say with certainty, but
that
I know.
It's pretty big, and the actor community is exploding. But let me ask you this: two questions. One, this is something Arjun always points out. Neil Nanda is how you say it. I would say Neil Nanda.
Yeah, well, I would say Akash instead of how do you say it?
Akash.
Akash. Is it
right? But does your mom say it the way you say it?
My mom says Nanda or Nanda or I mean, I don't know. I really.
What do the people in your family, your dad, who's Indian,
he would say Nanda. He would probably say Nanda.
So you say it differently than your dad.
But he allows everyone to say Nanda or Nanda. We live in Georgia. You know, they live.
But your decision was to say it that way. Why is that?
Nanda, easier for everyone to say. Just convenience for everyone I meet instead of being like, hey, everybody's Nanda. Like I don't. You know, I don't want.
Well, we have this debate all the time. I say my name the Indian way, the way my family
Akash?
Says it. But if someone says Akash, I don't feel the need to correct them. You say it how you say it. That's fine. I'm going to say it the way it's supposed to be said. Okay. Or Akash. To be honest, I've heard Indians say it both ways, but I know that's the Indian way. There's a way that's not Indian, which is Akash. And I did used to introduce myself like that. Uh-huh. But at a certain point, I was like, they can call me what they want. Right. I'm going to do this because I'm Indian. Akash or Akash or whatever.
Sure. And the Nanda, I mean, I could. I wouldn't mind doing it, but just for convenience sake, just for, you know, we do comedy. When the host introduced me, I don't want to teach him shit like 10 seconds before I'm on stage. You know, like,
he'll always ask,
is it Nanda or Nanda or Nanda? I'm not going to be like, it's Nanda. I'm not going to try to teach them before
that's,
they go on stage.
Like I said, my point, when someone says, is it Akash or Akash? I just go, Akash. Like, that's the easier way for you to get it, and I get that. But I'm still one... I say Akash, and they'll say Akash,
Nanda,
and then
Nanda
whatever.
Is not as easy for... Well, trust me, I've had to teach people how to say Nanda, and it's not as easy as Akash. Akash is like, okay, Akash. That's like, you know, pretty standard, simple. Nanda is like, Nanda, Nanda, Nanda.
There are definitely... Listen, when you come to the standpoint of trying whether to... teach them how to say it or not is one thing, because you're right, there are sounds that they don't have, and it, unless it's like someone that's really close and they are open to taking that time, like right. I've had to do that because Arjun, like if you say my name actually correctly, which I don't even do all of the time,
right.
But it is, there are sounds that are difficult for, you know, English speaking people. But I think what Akash is getting at is, what is it, how they say it is irrelevant to his point, right? His point is how you're going to say it. Because even if they don't say it back to you in the same way, you, I'm interpreting for you.
Right.
You can still say it in your way.
Sure.
And I guess the question for Akash is,
I will say this. I will say the majority of the people I meet are not Indian, or I surround myself with. So I just made it a habit to be like, it's just easier for everyone around me to just nod, to just fuck it. I don't care, you know? It's not going to bother me.
Do you think...
If I was in India, sure. If I were in India, if I were somewhere in, like, with aunties or at a puja or at a temple or something, of course, I would say nanda. I would not, you know...
Oh, okay. So it's a code switch thing almost for you.
It is a code switch. If I were around, you know...
The reason that we bring it up, and I'd love to hear your thoughts, because I mean our thoughts are very well. I don't want to become soapboxy about it, so I want to hear your thoughts on this, because I think that standpoint is, it's, I don't want to have to dismiss that aspect of myself and code switch in that way when it's about my name, the first part of my identity, and I feel like it's just a troubling thing for me from a standpoint of just like how we honor where we came from.
Sure.
Do you agree with that? Or do you think, or from you, and you're totally within your right to say.
It's not even a thought in my mind. It's not even a thought. The where we came from, my last name. People know I'm Indian. People know where I came from. People don't need me to say Nanda for them to know that's
you know, that's
my,
interesting because
that's
you,
my culture. That's
you
where
are,
I'm from.
You
I'm
are fairly,
home bracelet.
Yeah, but
I
you're fairly,
Indian.
Do you? To a lot
can
of people.
Can I ask, this is sure. My larger question, and I'm going to have to word this carefully because you haven't listened to the podcast, but we've talked about this. Right. Basically, who we are, our personality is an extension of our insecurities, right?
Yes, for sure.
And defense mechanisms and whatever.
Right.
Do you think you are insecure about being Indian?
To a degree, yes. I will absolutely admit that there is a part, there is definitely a part, maybe it's 10%, maybe it's 20%, I don't know how much of a part of me, because there was a point in my childhood where I was very insecure, for sure. Growing up in Alpharetta, Georgia, going to a primarily southern white school, trying to fit in, I definitely was insecure about being
But Indian. Here's what strikes me about that is you said you fit in better in Alpharetta, Georgia than you did in the Indian community.
Because I tried.
You didn't try in the Indian community?
It was more important then. It was the, like I said, the similarities, the hobbies, the things like the, I didn't have much in common. And so I didn't try as hard. I felt more in touch or in common with a certain community, and I went that way.
That makes sense.
100%. Ignoring not even trying the other way. So
right.
Definitely there was an insecurity where I was like, you know, I don't even want to begin to...
But then how did they make you feel insecure in Alpharetta, Georgia, if you got
Because you're still an outsider.
I was
He's
absolutely
still not
an outsider.
Of them.
I was definitely called out throughout childhood for being the brown one. Because, like I said, very white community, very few Indian kids... Alpharetta is a big Indian population. There is an Indian community, but when there was an Indian community, it was like four Indian kids who hung out together in your class. It was like six Indian
kids.
Coolest
table in the motherfucking class.
Right, coolest table. And I wasn't a part of that table. I wasn't the kid. And so like I tried to fit in with not that group. So from day one, I was called out for being, oh, you're the Indian kid that hangs out. You're the token Indian. You're the brown.
I mean, that's,
Did your parents cook curry? All that shit.
But that's the crux. That's the crux of like I think the conflict that we face is being this like dual identity. It's like you feeling because you're raised here and exposed to certain things that you feel like relate to. For example, rock music, Metallica, or whatever.
Right.
And then trying to bond with a group of people that feel that similar thing, and then them saying you are other.
Right.
And then going to the place where externally you feel like should be fitting in because externally you fit in, but internally you don't. And they're saying, no, you are other. It's a very isolating.
It was incredibly isolating. And like I mentioned, I definitely tried to fit in more by like, oh, check out this new Take Back Sunday CD or whatever, you know, or, oh, the new Jay-Z album or blah, and this stuff. So I was just really, I fit in as much as I could with one community. or I tried to, and just completely ignored the other.
Can I jump to now? Because I want to jump to now. You've mentioned a couple times that the, you know, with the Ohm bracelet, right. And even before we got on the air.
I forgot I was wearing this, by the way. I've had it on for maybe a couple months. My mom sent it to me. She was in India, and she just sent me a package, and it was really sweet. Had all this really sweet stuff from India, including this. And so I was like, I'm just going to wear it. It's great. But yeah, go ahead.
But you were saying that it's a new thing that you're getting more in touch with. And you were even talking about some of the college and some of the shows that you're going to be doing. Talk about this shift that's happening for you.
The shift that's happening that I've noticed is that the Indian community is very strong. It's a lot stronger than I expected. And very supportive, more supportive than I expected. Because growing up, I was very unsupportive. Very, very,
right.
very. I mentioned like, I wasn't able to get a guitar. We had to actually sneak that. My mom and I were very close.
Wow.
We had to sneak me getting a guitar. And I'll never forget what my dad said when I came home. I was like playing guitar. And I goes, did you rent that? And I was like, you didn't buy that, did you? Like, he was so beside himself that I had bought. Because I saved up my money. And he was like, I don't care. Just keep that money saved. Don't buy a guitar. You're wasting your money on that. And but I played it every day, just as a big fuck you, just like loud, just every single day. Just learn. I'm better at guitar than I am at comedy. Way better at guitar. so much more musically talented than I am funny. Like, whoo, it's crazy. But it was because I just was resentfully, you know, played it, and so I didn't feel supported. But now, as a comedian, I do feel a lot more supported by the community. When I meet people at a show, they recognize I'm Indian, they see that I'm funny, they're immediately Twitter followers, they're immediately Facebook me, message me, be like, hey, that was great. Hey, dude, you want to do this? You know, I've got private gigs out of it. I've gotten, like, invited to parties and to things and to events and colleges. Specifically, I do a lot of, like, Indian student union shows, and they're all very, very, very supportive and very much like, hey, man, we appreciate you doing this kind of thing. Like, we appreciate you taking this art form and doing something that, you know, we're here studying to be engineers or to be this, and we respect you going out there and doing this. And I, growing up, I didn't get that respect or that support. So now that they're supporting me, I'm more like, man, you know, this is great. I want to get more in tune with my culture. I want to, you know, maybe start learning more of the customs and the language.
Maybe holler at an Indian girl.
Maybe holler at an Indian girl. Maybe. I've seen a few cute ones on the road. I have definitely...
But things are getting crazy.
But they're like 19, so it's a problem.
Hey, do what you gotta do, bro.
I'm 25, so you know, if you're 22, hit me up at Neil Nava.
Is that your?
That's my minimum. 21, 21 probably. I want you to drink.
I mean, I don't know.
I want you to be able to drink. I don't want to. I've hung out with, you know, like, cause like I said, I do college. So I'll hang out with like 19-year-old. I have nothing to say or nothing. I don't want to be boring.
They're different. It's a different generation. I mean, it's a different thing.
Yeah.
So yeah. Manifesting in the way that you're looking at customs and stuff. How do you feel about language?
Language. Growing up, I actually didn't speak English until I was in elementary school. Until I was like in first grade, I learned English. I spoke Punjabi and Hindi only Punjabi and Hindi.
This is fascinating. We've been talking so much about the idea of we explore the concept of cultural preservation, and a lot of time the answer seems to be simply like, let's expose our kids, let's expose the next generation. And here's a dude that was fully immersed, wasn't even speaking English,
was raised
and
by my grandma,
and still felt a rejection.
I think that's a really fascinating thing that I appreciate you sharing, truly. Okay, let me ask you. So if you want to edit this, we can edit this.
Sure.
Because I'm about to get in there a little bit. All right, guys, here's the deal. We did not plan on this being a two-part episode, but at this point in the podcast, I ask Neil a question that makes things take a turn somewhere we didn't expect it to go, but it's very important. So we didn't really transition in or out. We're just going to drop part two of this interview next week. Please stay tuned. I sincerely think it's maybe our most important episode that we're going to drop. So thank you guys for listening. God bless.